All right, hello, and I probably blew that up a little bit, didn't I?
You weren't watching it?
I'm going to do it again either way. So. All right, hello, and welcome to I've Gotta Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation. This is a mega series, which is a mini series, but much bigger, within my regular podcast, Keep It Close to Me. This is our first for real deal episode. If you don't know the deal, if you haven't listened to the Mortal Kombat Annihilations, I've Gotta Beat MKA Origins episode yet. The deal is I am watching the movie 1997's Mortal Kombat Annihilation every night for a year.
You should be institutionalized.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm watching it every night for a year, and then once a week I'm going to record a podcast with a friend or a guest or someone that I can wrangle into watching the movie and then talking to me about it. And my hope is that at the end of this year, I will have beaten Mortal Kombat Annihilation, because I set this goal for myself that I was going to watch it every night for a year, and if I don't do that, then the movie wins. Mortal Kombat Annihilation will have beaten me, and I can't let that happen. I have to beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
And can I interject for a second?
Sure.
So I had a friend that also had this similar bet, but it was with the Awesome Blossom at Chili's. As in, like, if you ever order the Awesome Blossom, he had to eat the entire thing.
That sounds way worse for you, though. I mean...
Is it?
Well, okay, wait. So give me the...
So the context was we would go to Chili's and he would order.
But it's not like you'd go to Chili's every night or once a week. It was just
so this was back in high school, so late 90s, when Chili's was still reasonably priced. I feel the prices have accelerated beyond what they were.
Listeners of my last podcast may know that Chili's was certainly a recurring theme in our lives, so I'll allow this conversation.
Okay, you'll allow it. More to the point, like, so he would order Awesome Blossom, and then he would refuse to leave the restaurant until he had consumed all of the Awesome Blossom.
So
down to the uncooked onion at the bottom of the Awesome Blossom. As everyone knows, that was a child of the 90s. There was part of the Awesome Blossom that never was never cooked. Fully cooked.
Well, I've never had more than a little. I've never ordered an Awesome Blossom myself. I've been at the table with people who have and then have had some, and it's like, this is fine. What I thought you were saying was that if you, the goal was that, or the challenge, I guess, is a way better, because the goal is just to keep doing it. But the challenge was that anytime he was at Chili's with friends, if a friend ordered that for him, he had to eat it.
No, it was more like
this was a self-imposed.
Yes. And if he ever ordered the Awesome Blossom, he had to finish it. And
okay, but it's not like he had a thing where it's, and it's only if he ordered it. He could choose not to order it.
You could choose not to watch this movie 365 times, Chris.
Well, okay, so tonight we watched it. All right, before we get into that, let me go ahead and say,
I love you, Chris. I don't want you to die.
Well, let me say this. Speaking of you loving me, let me explain who you are. You are my friend Zach. You have helped me put together the other podcast. I've been on your podcast, your podcasts.
Oh, let's bring up my shames.
No, it's what? your shows were great. People can go check them out. What were the names of your podcast? I know, but I'm...
One was the Unreliable Sources podcast, which may or may not still exist in the internet ether. And the other one was the Co-Optonauts podcast, which still definitely does exist in ether.
Yes.
And I would like to bring back someday because I enjoyed that format.
And what's the web address?
One is the unreliablesourcespodcast.com. The other one is the co-optonauts.com.
It's the co-optonauts.com?
I believe it is not just co-optonauts.
I'll check in the show notes. I will check and put it up there for sure. But the reason I asked what the web address was is because, I mean, people could go and just search in podcast, however they choose to ingest podcasts, they can look those up and try to find them.
Yes, they're both legitimate, not YouTube podcasts, but Apple iTunes
verified,
authorized cop podcasts. Yes.
But the website looks so slick on Co-Optonauts. You did such a good job on making that look nice that I want people to go see it because...
And I want you to have that for your podcast, Chris.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Right now, mine's very utilitarian. I'm putting my energy into the recording, the audio experience part. The visuals of the website are not quite what I'm worried about at the moment. So, but you're Zach, and I've been on those podcasts. We stream video games on the Co-Optonauts channel on Twitch. Occasionally. We used to do it a lot more, but
we will do it again very soon.
We're going to be starting that again soon.
My fundraising stuff is starting up again, yes.
And do you want to talk about that a little bit so people know? Because it's...
Before
we get into this horrible movie, talk about some things that are good in the world.
Yes.
And Zach, I think that you and your job and what you do... Guys, this is with 1,000% sincerity. I believe that Zach is a great person who does real good in the world. I think his job is something that is amazing, and it's a thing that you basically put into you willed into existence with a lot of hard work over the last how many years?
2 years, yeah.
And you have taken a thing in just the last 2 years and taken it from not existing to being an amazing, huge thing. So if you want to talk about that just a little bit before I know that you probably don't want to have what you do too associated with this horrible movie, but I would love for you to tell people what you do.
Yeah, so I run a video game fundraising program for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, which is a nonprofit pediatric cancer research hospital here in Memphis, Tennessee. And the main focus of what the hospital does is it focuses on the hardest to cure cases of cancer and pediatric disease that exist, period. And then we bring families in, and then we make sure they don't pay for treatment, travel, housing, food, basically anything at all, anything revolving around their treatment. We cover all those costs for the extent of their treatment with us. And I enable that to exist by doing video game fundraising. So I run a video game fundraising program called St. Jude Play Live, where people can sign up, set a fundraising goal, and then play their favorite games online and stream them on Twitch, who's one of our partners, and raise dollars for the kids of St. Jude, basically enabling that research and that treatment to happen. In the last 2 years, we have raised north of $2 million. We're set to raise another $1 million this May.
Yeah.
So if you are interested in what I do and what you can do with the power of video gaming, please check out playlive.stjude.org. And also forgive me for the rest of this podcast, because Chris made me play a drinking game
We're going to get into that.
And I apologize.
You're doing much better already. We've had enough
slurring my speech about what I
do. No, you're fine. You're doing great.
You can tell. But basically, we've turned video games into a real force for good.
It's awesome.
Force of pediatric cancer. Yeah.
Seeing how much money you got. And I feel like I've been around with you for...
We've raised $1,500, Chris. No, don't laugh about that. Like, we have raised $1,500 playing video games.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's pretty rad. So, and Zach, where are you on Twitter?
I am at Zachary Witten.
Okay.
So I'm just at my name on Twitter.
Follow Zach on Twitter. So you're my first guest on this because... you were originally going to be my first guest, as we talked about on the regular show. You were going to be my first guest on Keep It Close to Me, but I've called an audible and was like, I've got to take this in a different direction, because that show would have been very different if it had just been you and I talking about it.
He told me we were going to talk about NXT, which is this horrible disease infected into my body.
No, originally you and I were going to talk about Batman versus Superman.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
yes.
See what I mean?
We can't do that.
Talking with Liz was a much better choice
absolutely.
For both of us.
Yes, yes.
For both of our well-being. But then...
By the way, if you have not listened to those two episodes, I heard them in the other room as they were being recorded. they are delightful. You should go listen to those episodes
immediately.
They
sound even better edited because you get to take out some of the dead space. But then Zach and I were going to talk about NXT... Takeover Dallas and WrestleMania, and I don't remember exactly what happened to our plans, but it didn't work out. But this is so now I've thought it would be especially good for you to be the first guest on I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Also, Zach, be thankful now you don't ever have to watch this movie again.
Oh, please, you're gonna come back around to me.
I'm not gonna come back to you.
On day 366 you will be like, Let's do a retrospective episode, Zach. What have you thought so far? What have you thought about these painful things?
We'll see.
What have you thought about the pain I've inflicted upon the universe in the past year?
Well, you know, and part of my deal with this is that the idea of why I want to have a different guest every time is that way no one but me has to watch this movie more than once. If you listeners want to play along, Zach tonight was my test subject for the I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation drinking game that I put together. And well, first of all, you were my guinea pig. And so let me ask you, do you think this drinking game, which I'm going to lay out the rules for here shortly, but they may have to be amended some, but Zach,
they have to be amended greatly.
I was going to ask, do you think that this drinking game, if played to its, you know, played to the nth degree of following the rules, do you think it is dangerous?
Yes.
You think it? Okay. So I'm going to give you the list of the drinking game rules. And I'm going to make up a graphic for this so you guys can pull it off. You don't have to jot it down. But if you want to have the original set of rules before they possibly get changed, now would be the time to start taking notes. If you want to play the, this version of the drinking game will be known as the Fatality Edition.
Oh, that's very appropriate.
Okay. So the original rules of the I Gotta Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation drinking game are: one, drink every time anyone says portal. Number two, drink every time anyone says realm. Number three, drink every time anyone says, or no, I'm sorry, anyone jumps or flips unnecessarily. Number four, drink every time there's terrible CGI. Number five, drink every time there's bad blue screen / green screen.
So let me interject real quick. Like, there should be a sliding scale. As your BAC goes up, your definition of bad CG or bad blue screen should also go down.
I'm gonna put some caveats in there. Okay. All right. Number six, drink every time anyone says animality. And then finally, number seven, finish your drink every time anyone says Mortal Kombat. Now, that does not include hearing Mortal Kombat in the theme song. It's only when someone says Mortal Kombat. Now, when I set this up, I said it was finish your drink, which unfortunately I forgot.
What's the first word in the script, Chris?
The first sentence in this movie is, Mortal Kombat is not about death.
So literally, Chris and I sit down and he lays out the rules and it's like, all right, cool, we'll do this. And the first words in the script are Mortal Kombat. And to which, like, you know how you like lay out drinking game rules and the bottom line is always like the worst possible thing. Like, you know, there's a couple bombs over the course of whatever this is that they're going to go off and you're going to have to drink.
Yeah.
And I was not prepared for the, like, I had poured myself a fairly stout, tall drink.
You poured a Zach drink.
I was not prepared for the first words.
Yeah, and I had forgotten that that's what the first words were going to be. And when that happened, we both started laughing so hard that Zach,
I thought he inhaled the barbecue that I was eating at the time. I literally inhaled it.
I thought Zach was going to die from choking to death from laughing before we even got started on the thing. And then I told him as he was coughing and trying to catch his breath, I was like, Zach, just know if you die while we're doing this tonight, the entire rest of this now will be in your memory, in your honor, in remembrance of you. This is how people will remember you.
Which steeled my resolve to not live? Die. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so that's the original rules of the game. And after the first word of the movie was Mortal Kombat, I realized that finish your drink is not a good idea. So we changed it to, I think a shot would be more fair.
Or elongated sip or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like,
depending on what you're drinking. And guys, look, I don't want anyone to die because of alcohol poisoning because of this terrible movie. So, you know, if you just want to take sip, but I will tell you, Zach, would you say it's fair to say that anyone playing this game by any set of rules should pace themselves.
Absolutely. You should also, if you are at someone else's house, you should have a planned ride home.
Yeah. If you guys get together to do this, which I think this would be a fun.
Oh, absolutely. It will be a blast. Like, it's up there with the My So-Called Life drinking game or the Buffy drinking game.
Okay.
Both of which are fantastic TV show drinking games. But again, if you're playing them, play them at your own house with no plans to leave, or play them with friends.
Play them with a clear exit strategy.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And also, of course, I said this before, but do not play this drinking game if you're not old enough to drink.
If you are not old enough to drink, I would highly recommend caffeinated beverages. So
I feel like that could be even more dangerous, because then you're going to have people's hearts just exploding instead of people just throwing up. Now, I did not play this drinking game because I wanted to keep my faculties about me, as I knew we were going to be recording the podcast right after we watched it.
So Chris is at my house. So to explain things further, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, you don't have anywhere to be outside
Chris
of this.
Chris has moderated to the extent that he is safe to get home.
I was only drinking casually.
Yes.
With a little bit of Kraken rum in my Dr. Pepper.
And I was being the guinea pig.
Yeah. And so tonight, just to kind of set the stage for you, tonight was my 14th night in a row watching Mortal Kombat. So now that is a solid, 2 weeks.
Dickensian fortnight.
Yes. I've undergone a fortnight of, Mortal Kombat Annihilation viewings. It doesn't matter.
Consecutive?
Consecutive. That's the word. Thank you. So what I wanted to do on the show.
I'm the one that drank.
Yeah. But you're also the one that's more of a writer than me. So, you know, I don't think I've ever done anything for what do you call it when you do the write a novel in a month thing?
NaNoWriMo?
Yeah. Or the thing where you did where you were writing the short stories where people.
Oh, the fast fiction stuff? Yeah.
You're a real writer. I'm like a. All right, Zach, this is the difference between us. You're a real writer, and I'm like a joke writer. Like every
one of us has gotten paid to put words on a page, and it's not me.
I do make my living mostly from writing things, but yeah, but I'm everything I write though is mostly like it's in the service of kind of telling jokes. Like all of the stuff I do is kind of just,
oh no, the hardest form of literature.
People got different skills, but I feel like you're a real writer and I'm just someone that's like, I write little jokes.
I'm jealous of you. You can be jealous of me.
That's yeah, totally fair. So guys, that's the rules for the drinking game. If you want to play, please, by all means, tweet at me either at the Chris Haley or at KICTM podcast, which is the Twitter handle for the podcast. And by all means, follow that. Tweet at me if you do the drinking game. Also, if you want to include the hashtag BeatMKA or IGBMKA, which is the initials for the podcast, you can do either one of those. I'll be oh my Lord, you can't even imagine how furiously I'm going to be searching for these hashtags, hoping that people are going to use them. If you have a party centered around this movie and this drinking game, I definitely want to know how that goes. Tweet at me, or you can email me at keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. I'd love to see pictures or just hear stories about how this went. But now, Zach, I'm going to give you a chance to see if there's anything you want to say to me or ask me or kind of any of your questions about or thoughts about the movie. I want to get to those. But before we do that, I want to ask you this list of questions that I've written up, my Mortal Kombat Annihilation 5 questions. And I want to give you a chance to try to answer these.
Is it a 5-button combination to to perform a fatality on my brain?
Hopefully not. We'll see what happens. We'll see how you're feeling when we're over. But I mean, you'll see how these questions go. I don't think these are particularly
helpful. Oh, no!
So, first, most important question. This is really more of a challenge than a question.
Okay.
But as best as you can, explain the plot of Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Okay. So,
and when I say as best as you can, I want you to be as thorough as you can about explaining the laying out this plot for someone that maybe has not seen this movie from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
you know, obviously you don't have to go crazy with it, but, and if there's anywhere in there where you have questions, feel for me, or if you have anything you want to say.
Okay. So plot is defined as the actions that characters take to define the skeleton of a story. So basically, plot is what happens when characters make actions, or that happens to characters along the spine of a story.
See, this is why I say that you're a real writer.
So what happens in Mortal Kombat Annihilation is that immediately following the events of Mortal Kombat the movie, I realized that was a the rules have serendipitously changed because of a cheat on the part of a villainous character, and the heroic characters divide for a moment to basically explore a subset of options to get to the next stage of the plot, which is we have to basically enlist the aid of the elder gods, which for some random reason are not Lovecraftian beasts made of tentacles, which
they're people in robes. Yes. When they're not CGI,
they're essentially squiggles. Elementals. Yeah. So you have you're presented with earth, water, and air.
Where no, fire.
Sorry, yeah, so fire, water.
I shouldn't correct you. I should just let you go.
Fire, water, and air, and earth is missing for reasons that will be presented at the end of the movie. And
oh, guys, spoilers if you haven't watched the movie
yet. God. There's no spoilers in this movie. It's an incoherent, like, it is essentially like it's notepads on a like post-it notes on a wall with thumbtacks, and
of
they rearrange. Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
We got to have this happen. We got to
have
this happen.
So it's like, you say you won't ask me about the plot of the movie, but the problem is that all there are set pieces. There's like reasons for character X interact with character Y and have a fight sequence and then move on to the next thing. Like, seriously. So when I say, like, there is a segment of the movie where the characters explore their routes to the next point of the plot, it is literally one group of characters fights in a tunnel. One group of characters fights in a science lab. One group of characters fights on a weird irradiated beach, and then they meet they all come together again.
He's playing real loose and fast with the word beach, but okay.
Yeah. There was a lake, and there's like mud and sand.
I think they play in a quarry, you mean, but
it's beachy.
I guess Zach has only been to mud beaches.
I grew up in the South.
Okay, go ahead.
And then,
so you've been to like Arca Butler.
Yeah. The classic quintessential Southern beach.
Yeah, that's the
Delta
perfect
Arca Butler.
Mud Beach.
Yeah.
They should just change the name to Mud Beach.
Yeah. And then we go to a random temple where the elder gods spout riddles, and then there's a fight that the good guys lose, and then so over the course of this whole thing, you have a 6-day window, which every day the bad guys win more and the good guys
I'm enjoying watching this get away
lose.
From you.
It was never going to stay with me. It's a disaster.
Well, no, you started like almost like a technical manual explanation of the plot of this movie.
But then they divide, and it's like once they divide, it's like there's no more coherent story structure. And so they've divided, they come back together, the gods trick them, and they lose a fight, and then suddenly the bad guys start to win, and it becomes a rebellion story in a weird way. Like, there's one last chance for them to get the gold medal, and
there's no gold medal in the movie.
There's no gold medal in the movie, but it's basically like one last chance for them to win the most important fight. And when they get there, they have that fight. They sort of lose a little bit, and then they win a little bit. And then weird, horrible, unthinkable CG things happen involving tentacle monsters.
I think he's like a Hydra. He's not really there's no tentacles, I don't think. I think he's just got the three heads.
It's going to scar me regardless.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I hope that you see that in your nightmares. I just hope
you
see
that.
You
hope?
I hope you see that scene of him changing on a loop in your nightmares.
And then the movie resolves for vaguely defined reasons. Because someone kicks someone really hard in the face for a second, but they don't actually die or lose. They just sort of get defined in the weird, vague sense of you have lost.
What have they lost, though?
Well, they apparently cheated and lost their mortality without knowing
it. Well, no, I was going to say that what they have lost is Mortal Kombat. Because they say the, I don't know if you noticed, because you were...
I'm calling my agent right now. He did not tell me this would be a show of puns.
It's like, well, because the guy says, it's like, oh, you've broken the rules, blah, blah, blah. The fate of the earth must be decided as it was always meant to be or whatever. And then the
again,
other
with
says,
Chris Haley's drinking game, Mortal Kombat is the key word to empty your glass.
Yeah.
So apparently I don't remember that word.
I was going to say, it's like maybe if you are fuzzy on a few parts. But Zach, you didn't even mention Nightwolf.
Get out. So, important point about Nightwolf.
No. Would you say that's the end of the plot?
The end of the plot is that there was a random fight where a dude kicks a dude in the chin. He quote-unquote loses, but doesn't actually seem to have been defeated. And then things resolve themselves. And exposition happens and the movie stops.
And then they play 4 techno songs.
Yeah, that's right. The credits are the best part of the movie. Like, you can actually, straight up, if you are hosting a gathering at your house where there's going to be dancing,
you need about 20 minutes of techno songs.
So all 25. You do is you find Mortal Kombat Annihilation on YouTube. You skip to the last 20 minutes.
It's on Netflix. I don't think it's on YouTube.
It's probably on YouTube. Let's be honest here.
Maybe.
You find the credit segments, and all you do is select that time code, and you just put it on loop, and you have a dance party the rest of your night. Because it's a nice oscillation of cover tracks and techno tracks and the classic, like, Mortal Kombat, oons, 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 oons.
They never play the full Mortal Kombat song in the
movie.
That
is true. They do not. I don't think they had the rights to it for this movie.
No, they did. It's still all
they had sample rights. Under 15 seconds.
No, they play it longer than 15 seconds, but they don't play the whole song.
Like, full straight through, like, longer than 15 seconds. I think they play samples at 15 seconds ago.
We'll find out. I'll get to the bottom of all this. See, that's part of the reason why I want to do this is that I hope by the end of the show, or the end of this journey, I will have learned the full secrets and stories behind how this movie exists, how it came to be, how it could be this bad.
Can I spoil something for you?
Well, maybe. What are you going
to
spoil?
It came to exist because of money.
I know why it exists, why they were like, let's make another movie. But it's like, so the first Mortal Kombat movie cost under $20 million to make. I think it cost about $17 million to make. I think it was either 17 or 18, something like that.
Holy crap, how much money did that movie
make? It made worldwide, it made like $130 million. In 1995. So in 1995, that
so
was still...
So 10 to 1 ratio on monetary investment. So assume
in
17 million. And so normal movies have...
That's a huge hit.
Well, most movies have whatever they spent on screen budget, you have a double that in marketing budget.
Yeah.
So
this movie did... I would be shocked if New Line spent... I don't think they were expecting this to be a huge hit. I mean, especially with it only having like a $17 million budget. I don't imagine that New Line was going to spend... In 1995, was going to spend the movie's budget again in marketing.
So assume they spent $5 million on top of that.
Sure.
So assume... All right, so let's just assume a $25 million.
Sure.
Like, whole budget. So we're talking about more than a 4x return on investment.
Yeah.
I would give that producer... my entire retirement account for that. You'd be like, sure, I will give you all of my money. Like, if you can promise me like a 4-to-1 return on investment.
And so Mortal Kombat Annihilation is, you would think that only being made 2 years later, first Mortal Kombat came out in 95, second one came out in 97. You would really think that after the first one was such a huge success that at the very least, the budget for the second one would have been noticeably higher. But somehow, this movie's budget is... Now, I don't know what the exact figure is, but looking at what's on the screen, I will tell you that this movie looks like it is not even a movie. It looks like it is a, you know, it looks like a TV show or something. You know, it looks like a made for TV movie, or it looks like it's, you know, something like made for TV or something. It's literally like Power Rangers level in some points, or sub Power Rangers level in some points. Are you about to tell me how much the budget was?
Yeah.
What was the budget?
Do you want to know?
Yeah.
It's $30 million.
You have got to be. Where did they spend it? Tell me where they spent the money, because every, like, and I showed Zach some gifs from the first movie and some, like, and there's flashbacks in Mortal Kombat Annihilation of the first movie. And it's just night and day difference when you cut to those flashback scenes, because they look like a movie. And when it cuts back to the, it's like the difference between watching, you know, a movie and then something that you recorded on a cam, your parents recorded on a camcorder out at your birthday party or something. It's just, it's unbelievable how cheap this movie looks. And you're going to tell me that they had an almost twice as big budget? I assumed that the budget was probably like maybe 20. But holy cow, but this movie did not do well. Did you see what the take for it was?
50 point something?
So, yeah. Not
less than half the gross of the previous one.
Yeah.
But still.
I mean, that I would not call that a success, though.
No, it wasn't a failure, though.
Not a total failure, but I mean, it does have a 3% on Rotten Tomatoes. Yes,
deserved.
So
a deserved 3%.
It's certainly a artistic failure. now, I will say that I have not seen the first Mortal Kombat movie since I was a teenager. Since I was like in high school or something. Like,
this is a weird journey you've gone down, then.
Yes, yes. Well, okay. I told the story a little bit on the, or maybe too much. Maybe I told it in too in depth in the Origins episode. But yeah, I just saw the whole thing of this came from, I saw that Mortal Kombat Annihilation, I was just scrolling through Netflix, I guess now two Fridays ago. It was like Friday night, and I was just like kind of late, and I was just scrolling through there, and I saw it, and I was like, maybe I'll watch this. I'll just put this on. And I started watching. I was like, I liked that first one, but I've never seen this one. And I was like, the first one was pretty cool, wasn't it? It's like, you know, it's my memory of that first Mortal Kombat movie was that it was pretty good. But I also will admit I was pretty stupid when I was a teenager. And I knew that some stuff was good, but there was also things that I look back on and I rewatch now and I go, yeah, this definitely was not as good as I remember it being, or I was clearly just in a very different place then and couldn't tell that this, I didn't have the faculties yet to tell how bad this was. But my memory of that first Mortal Kombat movie is that it's pretty good. How well do you remember that first movie?
Not at all.
Okay, so everyone was suddenly startled by that noise, both of us and however many cats are in the room. I assume one of the cats caused it.
Yeah, it's diving behind the.
Okay, so. But, you know, my memory of that first one was that it was like, that's pretty good. And I was like, so I'll watch this one. It's only got one star. But, you know, I like watching bad movies. I have fun watching bad movies and making fun of how terrible other people's hard work can turn out. So, you know, or people's not hard work, I think, in this movie. I was like, okay, I'll watch this. And as I was watching it, I was just like, holy cow, this movie's bad. But it's like. And some of it is fun bad, but some of it is bad in just a way where I'm like, what? You know, what? How? Who wrote this? Who decided? Who made these decisions? Who okayed this? Who saw the dailies of this? And were like, yeah, don't look up their names. We're going to look, Zach, I've got a long way to go with this. I don't want to get all the information.
John R. Leonetti.
He's the guy, and he's only directed 4 movies. Letterboxd has let me know that I have seen a quarter of his movies now.
He's directed directed? You're correct. 3
Well, Letterboxd has a 4th movie on there for him.
He's a DP.
This is clearly not a, anyway, not the point.
He was DP of the original Mortal Kombat.
You'd think that this would have been shot better, but,
oh, wait, sorry.
You've got to turn this off. Quit. You can't be, you're going to derail me with facts.
He was the DP of Scorpion King.
Okay. Well, I liked that movie. I don't think it was shot all that much better, but well, again, I just saw that when I was a teenager, so maybe it's terrible.
Maybe.
I don't know. I liked it at the time. Kelly Hu, The Rock, Michael Clark Duncan. That's all some good stuff. Who's the bad guy in that? Let's not. I'm not doing a Scorpion King podcast yet. But I watched it the first night and I was just kind of like, wow, that was really bad. But I'm like kind of puzzled by how bad it was. And so the next night, I was kind of looking for something to watch. And I was like, maybe I need to watch that again just to
try to figure it out. Actually all thought Chris was legitimately going insane.
I think the third night was when people started getting worried. But now we're not worried, but people were like, what? What? Stop. What? You know, the second night I was like, well, I guess I'm watching Mortal Kombat Annihilation for the second night in a row. And I watched it, and it's like when it was over, I was still just as baffled by how. And then I got to the third night, and I was like, should I watch this again?
No.
And I was like, all right, I think I'm going to watch this again. When I hit that third night, I feel like then that was when I was like, I had the idea where I was like, what if I watch this every night for a year? What if this just becomes what I do? And I was like, oh, well, yeah, I could do that and then make a podcast of it, which is obviously what we're doing. So it's not like I started this with that plan. It's just like the plan kind of fell in my lap. I watched it two nights in a row with no intention. So
what is question number two?
Question number two is, how many characters from this movie can you name? You just name them and I'll...
Okay. So, Shao Kahn, Raiden, Johnny Cage.
There we go.
Johnny Blaze is a character from... It's Ghost Rider. Kings of Fighter.
Johnny Blaze is Ghost Rider.
And also... King of Fighters, I think there's a character called Johnny Blaze.
Fair enough. I'll fact check it later.
Yes. I think it's spelled J-O-H-N-N-Y. Johnny Blaze.
Okay.
Sonny Blade, Jax, Nightwolf, Sindel, Kitana, Jade, Shiva, Mataro, Smoke, Sub-Zero, Scorpion Bot, because there's a legit Scorpion. There's also Scorpion Bot. I don't remember, like, maybe his name.
I'm counting those as one. I think that yellow one is somebody. That yellow bot is somebody else.
I think you're right, but he's in the story. He's like.
Would you say it's fair to say that they are not really clear about a lot of the characters' names?
Oh yes, absolutely. Like Smoke shows up and no one mentions his name till after he is dead.
Yeah.
They don't actually ever say Scorpion's name at all until. They don't actually say his name.
I don't think they actually say it.
I don't ever think they said Sub-Zero's name either.
I think they did. Okay. Yeah. I think they says, oh, maybe not.
Never say Shao Kahn's father's name at all. No idea who he actually...
Actually, they do say his name.
They do?
You just didn't hear it.
Okay.
Because there was a part where they said his name and you were like, wait, what did they say?
What is his name then?
I don't know how you pronounce it. I don't remember what it is. Like, but I know that they say it. That they,
okay.
It's something with an S, I think. But they say his name. The Elder Gods say
his
name.
Did I say Melina yet?
Nope.
Okay, so Melina. And then they're the...
We're assuming that was Melina. I think it is.
Yeah.
They certainly don't say.
And they're the terrible, like, tricolored ninjas that we've all forgotten their names. Okay. So, yeah, I'm done. That's my run.
That's... You got 16.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good. I don't know who you forgot or if you forgot anyone. I have no idea. Look, I don't have the answers to these questions. All right. Number three. Did you like this movie?
No.
Okay. Do you have any... do you want to elaborate on that?
It is a bad movie.
Okay. Did you have fun with the experience, though?
I mean, like, it's always fun watching bad movies with you.
Okay.
Fair.
We've certainly watched a few.
If you want to hire Chris Haley for $25 an hour, he will watch any bad movie you want to watch, plus travel expenses.
Yeah.
Provided you are not a murderer or a creepo. He will watch any movie you want to for $25 an hour plus travel expenses.
Yeah. That's really not that good of a deal. I mean, since most movies are under 2 hours. But I mean, travel expenses. Okay.
Travel expenses.
Okay, fair enough. All right, guys. You heard Zach.
Yes.
He's clearly in charge here.
Yes. I mean, like, so here's the deal.
How many stars would you give this movie?
Half.
Half a star.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, like, so here's the thing. So on Netflix, which is, we watch a movie on Netflix.
Yeah.
There's always the Netflix math, which any movie you look at on Netflix, you have to subtract 3 stars. Like, that is base Netflix math, because they load your profile with movies they think you're going to like.
Right.
And so any, like, movie you watch, if they say, like, oh, it's 5 stars, you go, well, it's 2 stars. But a 2-star movie is a 5-star movie. But any movie they say is, like, 3.5 stars, you have to shave down to a 0.5-star movie for your personality.
I don't feel like that's accurate at all.
Okay.
Because, I mean, for me, in my experience at least, they put stuff up there for me often where, well, I don't know about that. I mean,
but things that you like are things that when you watch them, like, the thing is like, I feel that Netflix movies that are at 3 stars for human beings, like, oh, just this is a 3-star movie.
Before I've rated it.
Yes, before you've rated it, like, they say this is going to be a 3-star movie for you.
Well,
when you watch it, it's like, oh, that was mostly terrible.
No,
but
man,
there are a few moments that
I enjoy.
They
show me stuff that's like, I mean, maybe I have just been more
at a 3-star rating or like a 4-star plus rating. That's the catch. Is like, if anything over 3 stars, you've scaled into the next territory. But anything that's 3 stars or less.
Well, just say, so how many stars you would give this is 0.5 star.
Yes.
Stars do you think I would give this movie?
I don't like to discuss mental illness.
On Letterboxd.com, which is where where I'm keeping track of all the movies I watch, what do you think I've rated this?
1.5 stars.
Okay. I've rated this 3 stars. Because
would you please leave my house? I don't trust you around my wife. I think you are a diseased human being right now.
Now, okay, now let me explain.
When
I first watched this movie and put it on there.
So, just to explain to the audience what's about to happen. We're about to watch an adult human being apologize. I'm sorry. We're about to listen to an adult human being apologize for deeply flawed choices in their life. Chris, please explain to us explanation for
my neuroses.
3-star rating
of Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
So,
which puts it on par, for the record, with movies like Captain America: The First Avenger.
That's not what I would rate that,
but that's what the society's rated it.
Okay. Well, I'm not society. I can have my own ratings for things.
Fast and Furious 4.
That would definitely be more than 3 stars for me.
Okay, I'm just still putting on society's rating.
Okay.
And the new Godzilla movie.
I would probably put that about 2 stars.
Just spreading out like what society considers a 3-star movie. I'm just putting.
I would
out
rather
there.
Watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation than that Godzilla movie. So question number 4.
Yes.
Should people watch Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because so here's the thing: like, bad movies are the gross product of America. Like, we produce them, we make them. Like, most cinema comes out of 40 square acres in Los Angeles County. So let's embrace that. Let's embrace both the good and the bad. Like, this movie spent enough money to send people to Angkor Wat. Like, literally, there's shots in this movie from Angkor Wat in Thailand.
Yeah.
And I think that if you ignore that, you ignore like some weird part of the film culture. Like, you have to take good movies with the bad, and you should absolutely see bad movies just because
that's a real interesting take.
You have to have a contrast point. Like, you have to eat Taco Bell to know what really good like Tejano food is.
Right. That's not what I expected you to say, but I mean, that's a great answer. And I agree. I mean, I have fun watching bad movies because it's like, you know, and Liz and I got into a little bit of this when we were talking about the other stuff. It's like there can be an inherent quality to even a bad movie if it's, you know, I mean, there's some movies that are just bad and you're like, don't bother watching that. I mean, I feel like, I mean, I think you've kind of given me something new to think about on what, why a reason to watch a bad movie sometimes. But, you know, to me, there's like, you can, there's like bad movies that are just bad and they're not fun to watch. And then there's like, there's fun bad movies. There's good bad movies.
Yeah.
And you know, there's all kinds of, there's a whole range of quality and fun and experience amongst that subcategory of bad movies.
Yeah.
So there's lots of stuff in there, but yeah, that's an interesting, it's a real interesting answer that I was not expecting. So good job.
I mean, you have to have a contrast. Like, you can't know how good Citizen Kane is until you really understand how bad Plan 9 from Outer Space was.
Right.
If that, like, that's, I realize those two movies are polar opposites, yeah, but yeah, like that polar opposite black nature and white is,
well, and what, to be fair, you know, Plan 9 from Outer Space was, Ed Wood felt it was, if you've seen Ed Wood, you know that he felt like that was his Citizen Kane. Like Citizen Kane, I mean, oh Lord. Orson Welles was Ed Wood's hero because, you know, he wrote, directed, produced, starred in, and, you know, that's, so that's totally, I feel like that's a great contrast point to put the two of them as like, this is both someone trying to tell their story and you see the, I don't know, I think there's sometimes, I mean, not always, I mean, some movies are just garbage, but sometimes there's like a real beauty in the sincere effort of a bad movie.
Yeah. Like, so Highlander is a great bad movie.
I don't know, man.
So let me finish.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Whereas Warlock is a legitimate bad movie.
I don't know. I saw Warlock at the drive-in when I was a little kid, and I absolutely loved it.
Watch it again.
Okay. Julian Sands is forever burned into my brain.
Yes.
Because of that movie. Man, the parts where they figure out that, God, you can
send him down a rabbit hole.
When they figure out if they put the nails into like his footprints or something, it hurts him.
Yeah.
And then there's that part where they put it into his footprint and he falls down, and then they find where his head hit the ground, and they put the, they hammer the nail into where his head made a print on the ground, and then that hurts him. Oh, what are you talking about? That movie's awesome. I wish I could go watch that right now. But instead, when I get out of here, I'm going to go watch Reboot. Because Zach just told me that all of Reboot is on Hulu now. All right, so my fifth and final question for you, and it's not necessarily the end, but this is the last of my questions that I had written up for you. Should I keep doing this?
I think you should limit it to 6 months and not a year.
Too bad. I've already committed to what it is.
So the reason I was going to say 6 months and not a year is because I like this project. I think it's clever and charming.
Yeah.
But I would also like to see you maybe shift your focus, because we talked earlier and somehow the Ninja Turtles came up,
mm-hmm.
and like, I kind of would love to see you do this with Ninja Turtles 1.
What, watch the first Ninja Turtles for 6 months?
Yeah.
Oh my Lord. I would love that. And on the one hand, I'd kind
of
love,
because
that,
I think that movie has a lot of weird commentary in it that a lot of people neglect.
That's fair. I've actually done a podcast about that movie. I was a guest on someone else's podcast about that movie once, and there was a lot of stuff. I hadn't watched it in a while. I mean, I certainly saw it a lot as a kid, but I remembered watching it. It was the first time I'd watched it in years and years when I watched it. This is probably like 2-3 years ago, I guess. I did this other podcast. I don't even know what the podcast was. And I don't think it ever went up. I don't think it ever got posted, because it was me and another guy on there, and the other guy was calling in from a cell phone, but he was out in public and he was just like walking around, and it was like super noisy, and he would go like, oh, okay, yeah, no, it's fine. And we're like, well, it's really loud, we can hear like every one of these cars that's going by or whatever. And he's like, oh, okay, here, let me get somewhere where it's more quiet. And then he would just go into a store, and it's like, well, we're going to be talking about this movie for like an hour. Are you sure it's cool to just be standing in this store for an hour? You want to be talking about this? Like, oh yeah, it's fine. And then like stuff would happen. You could hear the music in the store or something or whatever. And he'd be like, all right, I'm going to get out of here. And then he'd start walking again and you'd hear stuff happening. And it's just like, oh, I mean, we still did the entire podcast. And then it just, as far as I know, it never got posted. And I was like, well, I completely understand why. So I think I know a little bit about what you're talking about with some of the things where it's like, yeah, there's some kind of interesting things in here that I certainly didn't pick up on as a kid. But
so the core point though was that I worry that both for your sanity and your wife's sanity.
She has still not even had to see this movie once. She is not. I don't think she's seen more than 3 minutes of this movie so far.
But that also implies that she is not around.
No, I just watch it after she goes to bed. That's why I watch it at night.
I think there will be a bedrock here that you will hit.
Well, we'll see what happens. You know,
a bedrock of your own freaking sanity.
Well, yeah, I'll say this. I think I did say this. I told you guys, but I can't remember if I said this in the Origins episode, but I think I did, where it was like night 12 was the first night where I was like, I would really rather not watch this right now. But that was, you know, like I said, it's just
so less than one.
But it wasn't 30th of the way through? It wasn't because I didn't want to watch the movie. It was just because I was like, there's other stuff I would rather watch right now. But, you know, I did it and it was fine. I had a good time. But what I was going to say about the rating system was that when I first, the first couple times I watched this movie, I would just be like, ugh, I don't even want to rate this because it's so bad. I don't even know what to do with it. I don't feel like it's, you know, I don't know. But the more I've watched it, there's bits of it I appreciate. And it's also, I feel like the more I watch it, the more I appreciate how hard it must be to make a movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Because I feel like, you know, you hear all these stories from people. Nobody sets out to make a bad movie. You know, I mean, people try to, you know, people make Sharknado 3. They know they're making something that's doing a particular thing. But I mean, when people...
Like, there's a difference between, like, bad and cheap. Asylum knows it's making cheap movies.
Yeah, but
movies.
I mean, the first Sharknado was not trying to be a bad movie. It's like, it was trying to be one of those movies like Asylum makes. And then it, like, you know, it kind of grabbed people's attention for whatever reason. And then they were like, oh, we've got this hit with this crappy movie on our hands. And now we know, but we know that people are liking it ironically. So with the second one and the third one, and they're probably going to make a fourth one, who knows? Like, you know, then they turned into the bat, you know, they turned into the skid to go like, oh, let's really ramp it up. And it's like, oh, let's get a bunch of celebrity cameos and everyone's in on the joke. But people who are actually trying to make a movie, you know, that's what you hear people say is it's like nobody really sets out to make a bad movie. People are trying their best and it's, you know, it's a, we don't have the talent or the, you know, the equipment or the backing, you know, we don't have the skills or the financial ability to make this movie the way we want it to be. But even in those, you know, when you can see like earnest, sincere effort in a really bad movie, sometimes you can still, you know, there's a beauty in that.
Sorry, when you said earnest, all I can think of was earnest
movies.
Yes.
Yeah, which
and
I
how,
think those, I
like,
think,
some of them are
legit good movies, I yes. think. Ernest Goes to Camp, I think, is a good movie. Ernest
Scared Stupid.
Scared Stupid, I think, is a good movie. Well, yeah. I don't know if I'd say it's a good movie, but I think it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
And then Ernest Goes to Jail.
Yep. After those first three.
After those, yeah.
They, it's like, whoa. But
that first Ernest, which I don't want to get into a whole thing about Ernest movies, or maybe I do, but the first Ernest movie, Ernest Goes to Camp, that movie is like legitimately emotionally affecting. Like that point when Ernest is real sad. I remember I saw that movie as a kid. Well, I saw all those Ernest movies as a kid. But
even Ernest Goes to Africa.
Is that real?
Yeah.
No, I did not see it. I mean, I saw
Slam
those.
Dunk.
Is it called Ernest Slam or is it called Slam Dunk Ernest?
Either way.
No, I didn't see. I just meant those first three.
The three or,
original
yeah.
ones. The original trilogy of Ernest movies. But I remember seeing that first one as a kid. And I was the part where Ernest is real sad. And guys, if you don't know who Ernest is or what we're talking about, I just.
Jim.
Don't
James
worry.
Varney is one of the greatest stand-up plastic faces that has ever existed.
But I just remember being like, so I think that was probably the first time I had seen a movie that had made me like really sad as a kid. I was like, I felt so bad for Ernest in that Ernest goes to camp when the part where like every, and of course everything works out in the end. He gets to win, be the hero, whatever. I don't really remember exactly what happens in that movie because I was a little kid when I saw it. But I do, obviously though, that part of him being real sad and it's like raining and I think he sings a song about crying, about how it's like you go.
And he has a legit Kermit the Frog voice.
He has to like go out into the rain to cry so that no one can tell you're crying. Something like that. I was just true, deep, affecting sadness as a little kid. Anyway, boy, what a way to... I don't know if there's beauty in the badness of this movie, but I do see places where it's like people were trying.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I do also see places where it looks like people were not trying at all. And that's kind of what I want to get to. I hope that by the end of this, I will have a better understanding of...
So ask me that question.
I don't know what the question was.
So that moment you skipped over there, like, I feel like the question of when do you think people were trying and when do you think people were not trying in this movie?
Okay.
So I think the physical stunt actors were absolutely trying.
Well, some of them. I think some of them are...
I don't know. I think like every...
Well, no, hey, it's like I said, there's points in this movie where I pointed out, I was like, that's a good stunt. That's a good real stunt that someone had to do. And even if it's in the middle of this terrible movie, it's like someone really put their health and well-being on the line to do that, get thrown into that wall.
So Sonya Blade in this movie is played by a Swedish actress, I think.
Yeah. Well, she's from Sweden. I don't know if she's, I don't know if she like grew up in Switzerland or whatever. But
she definitely has an accent that presents itself in inappropriate moments of the movie.
Okay.
So like moments where like there should not have been an accent. There was a Swedish sort of dropped a vowel or something.
Sure.
I think she absolutely...
Oh, she was great. I think she did a great...
That's what I'm saying. Like,
fight scene-wise, she did a great job.
She carries way more of this movie than I think they meant for her to carry.
Well, I mean...
I think they edited this movie in her favor.
Maybe.
Because she was the rock they could rely upon this movie.
Well, I don't... The guy that...
Versus, like, Liu Kang, who...
But the guy that plays Liu Kang is like a...
He's legit, but in this movie, he was not.
Yeah, they didn't. They really kind of cut down on what he did.
I've seen that dude in other stuff, and he is like a rock solid actor.
Well, or action martial actor. Artist yeah, performer. Yeah.
Yes. In this movie, he did not.
He's good in. At some point, I'll
like,
have
even
to,
the final like fighting sequences. He was not.
Yeah.
Impressive. Like he is way better than what this movie enabled him to do, and I think that. Like the Sonya Blade character / actress was the rock upon which a lot of the good guy foundation was built. Where I don't know if that was intentional, but I think it came out in editing.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking about how good Liu Kang, how good his fights are in the first movie, in my memory at least, and in some of the stuff, a little bit of the clips that they show in this movie.
So in this movie, they never show his classic Mortal Kombat kick, like the cross the flying Superman level kick.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in the original Mortal Kombat movie. And
they show.
I think that, like, there's so many other nods to video game fighting moves.
But they really cut down on all of that in this one. Like,
did they? Yeah. I don't know if they did.
No, they did because.
We called out Sub-Zero's move. We called out Scorpion's move. We called out the Scorpion Bot move. We called out.
No. I'm not saying that, like.
Sonya Blade's move.
I'm not saying that they didn't still try to put some of those, like, classic video game moves in, but the way that they did some of that stuff in the first movie.
Smoke.
And then the way that some of those moves were treated in this movie were completely different. And I feel like there was a real shift. And I feel like part of it was because they were like, we don't really know how to shoot this.
Okay.
Or it's going to be harder to shoot. And like the people who were making this first one clearly knew how to do some of these things better. Because there's a part where Sub-Zero does that like bicycle kick. He kind of does it. It's not exactly like the way Liu Kang does it in the games or
but
in
that's,
the first movie.
Sub-Zero has that move in the game at that point.
Yeah, but it's like, he doesn't, but the way that he does it when they show it in this movie, it's like, it does not look nearly as much like an impressive feat. And honestly, none of the fighting moves in this movie that are set up to be like, oh, this is like someone's classic move. Johnny Cage does that like flash kick mm-hmm. that like, it's, you know, it's like a,
yeah, it's in the air, the staggered, like you see the ghost image of the character yeah. as they go across the screen.
There's way more of that kind of thing in the first movie, and they treat it all like really seriously. And in this, it's either like they were trying to get away from it because they felt like it looked silly, or they didn't know how to do it well, because when Johnny Cage does that in the first, at the start, oh, and well, maybe I won't say that.
Yeah, don't say it.
It looks really crappy. And you know, when,
but that sort of thing is like that kick style is like, I mean, Liu Kang's signature move is that equivalent kick.
Yeah.
And we never saw it in the entire movie.
Yeah, well, and I don't think that, I mean, I feel
we
like...
We saw, like, even Jax's Earth Punch.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like, I'm not saying that they didn't do some of those things. I'm just saying, like, the way that they shot them and the way they treated them in the movie was not the same.
Yeah.
It was more, it's, you know, either, like, embarrassed of, like, oh, we don't want it to seem too silly, even though it's in the midst of this incredibly silly movie. I mean, the wigs and costumes alone in this movie should have told them they were in a, you know, they're in like a kindergarten production.
Sindel's hair is offensively bad.
But, you know, the, nope, I lost it. No, but then the way that they do, the way that they do some of that stuff, it's either like they're embarrassed of the subject matter and they're like trying to get away from it or something, or they just didn't know how to do it very well. Anyway. I feel like we've talked more than enough about this at this point. Do you have any questions for me about the movie based as someone who has now watched it for 2 weeks straight?
What is the cosmological difference between Earthrealm and Outworld?
I have no idea. Earthrealm seems to be in the daytime.
Okay.
And Outworld seems to be mostly at night.
Okay.
It kind of cracks me up that they pay lip service to the fact that, and some of this dialogue I think you missed because it's like stuff that I only noticed having the subtitles on. There's like little bits of throwaway dialogue where they're talking about the devastation of like what's happening to the Earth as the two realms are merging.
Because Outworld's supposed to be like a barren wasteland yeah. of like necrotic energy, essentially.
Yes, they don't ever get, they don't say it that eloquently. Yeah. But the most they say is that Raiden at one point says, think of it as hell on Earth.
Yes.
And so they have a few throwaway lines of like, oh, look at what's happening to Earth. Look at, and then there's like a line where they're meeting in that like little out in Shao Kahn's little meeting room. And he's like, I've already gotten, one of the guys says, oh, I've already harvested thousands of souls for you.
They drop names in that same scene. There's like, they
Stryker and Cabal.
Yeah.
And they're like, but they.
Stryker being the ex-cop who has sun grenades and a baton, and Cabal being the mortal witch, I think, that they use.
Don't look it up. Don't.
No, I think I'm right, though.
It's fine if you are. I'm just saying, don't look it up. I don't, like. I've still got so long to go on this. I want to save some of the information for myself
yep,
as I
yep,
go.
Yep, yep.
Okay. So, but they, I mean, there was certainly names that I recognized, but I was like, I don't know who those people are. Oh, and that's the thing, guys. I don't know if I've said this yet, but I'm not particularly a fan of Mortal Kombat.
He's not.
I played the first one and, you know, the second and the third one. And then after that, it's kind of like, okay, whatever. But, yeah, they keep saying stuff about, oh, that's the homemade Predator costume. Looks a lot like the...
Chris is right now explaining the Cabal costume. Yeah. I've just blown it up in its original, like, 320 by 480 size yeah. to a full
and
screen.
And it looks kind of like... It looks kind of like the... It looks a little bit like the robots in the Robo Ninjas that they brought in for the third game. Anyway, they say some stuff about how, you know, people's souls are getting harvested and all of this, that, and the other, the destruction that's happening, but they can't afford to show any of it. It's like all that ever happens is little scenes in a room or like in a small little sort of outdoor set where two people get in a fight or like a couple people get in a fight and there's a bunch of ninjas standing around. But I just love that they act, you know, they do have those one little scenes where, oh, look, there's the Golden Gate Bridge and the Eiffel Tower and they're all askew and it looks like it's dark out, but they can't show any of the so-called they keep talking about Shao Kahn's extermination squads, and but they can't show any of that.
Rando dudes in black with machetes or something.
Have you got any other questions? It's okay if you don't.
When this all goes to hell, will you ask to sleep on my couch?
I don't think this is going to be fine. I will say, though, it's like the other night I asked April if she wanted to watch this with me. I was like, oh, I'm about to have to watch that. Do you want to watch this with me? She's like, hell no, I don't want to watch that with you. I was like, come on, you're going to have to watch. Don't you want to get it out of the way? She's like, look, I'm going to have to be dealing with this for a year. I'm going to put it off as long as I can.
She's a smart lady.
Yeah, she's smart. She's real smart. But it's funny, too, though, because it's like she's seen like little bits and pieces of it as I've been watching it sometimes, where she's been out somewhere else. And then she'll come home and I'll be in the middle of watching it. And she, like me, she enjoys bad movies. She's not going to watch it as many times as I am, obviously. I couldn't possibly convince her to watch this more than a couple times, but she has come in and commented, you know, and watched for a few minutes and had a good time laughing at how terrible it is. So I don't think it's going to be all that bad.
So do you have one real question?
Sure.
What is your favorite line of dialogue from Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
Man.
I mean, you've watched it 14 times now.
That's tough. Well, yeah, I mean, it's so hard to pick a favorite.
That is literally the best / worst answer you could possibly give.
I think it's probably when Nightwolf says, he says something like,
show me your animality.
No, he says, your everlasting faith in yourself that can never be defeated. Find your animality, your animality, your animality, your animality. Like it fades. It's like Luke hangs in this dream state and he hears that. Just there's so many lines in this movie that crack me up. Where it's like, okay, Shao Kahn's first line is,
animality.
Shao Kahn's first line. I love that Shao Kahn's first line is, the earth was created in 6 days. And it's like, oh, okay, so Shao Kahn, emperor of Outworld, believes in the Bible. That's fun to know. That's good to know that he's, even though he's the emperor of Outworld, he still believes in the Judeo-Christian Bible. I love when Raiden says, he says something like, that which is closed can also be opened. It's like, wow, some real words of wisdom. You can't argue with the truth of it. You close something, it can also be open.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. It's probably that animality bit. Oh, I do love when Kitana says, Sub-Zero, you have to help us with your powers. That's a great one. I like when Scorpion says, suckers.
That's actually not Scorpion. That is Ed Tobias.
It's still Scorpion. He may be the one saying it, but it's Scorpion. Anyway, so, all right, guys. I hope you've had a good time.
Chris is like, I'm done with you.
Zach, I hope you've had a good time with the evening. Thank you for being my first guest.
You have done permanent damage to my liver.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how you feel tomorrow.
I know I'll feel tomorrow. That's how I know you've done permanent damage to my liver.
So, guys, follow me on Twitter at @TheChrisHaley. Follow the podcast at KICTM Podcast. Send us your emails and such at keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a review. Thank you so much to the people who have already left the great 5-star reviews. I'll get around to talking about those and some of your emails and your Twitter questions and all that stuff in another episode. But until then, in the immortal words of Raiden, I will just say, and remember, be there for one another. You're a family now. Well, I mean, the thing is just that it's, I'm amazed. It's not even necessarily louder. It's that you sound clearer.
Oh, just because I have a better radio voice than you.
Well, I think that's certainly up for debate. I can definitely turn my professional radio voice on if you need me to.
Then you should, and you should tell us about
the Midnight Storm. When I turn on my radio voice.
Your radio voice?
Yeah. Well, it's fine. It's fine. Let's just do it before we waste any more of this.
Nothing's being wasted. We're recording all of this.
I guess that's true.